You'd had a big head knock.
You can't.
Let's head to Red Biglands, the Triple M Gas World Interchange.
Thanks, James. You're sitting right alongside the sun bench. Very balanced bench too, boys. Alec Magan is running through there.
What?
He'll pinch it up forward. Horsley sitting right alongside of him.
Biggles, how many teeth did you lock? What happened?
Tell us
what happened. Don't you remember that?
Tell us what happened, because I thought we were listening to Wide World of Sports.
Super Sluice is at 6-1. Majestic Prince and Bi Jingos are 3-1 equal favourites.
Anyway, what happened that week? You copped a head knock.
This is the funniest thing Roo's ever done on radio.
This is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Limo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's The Bump.
This is our trade special. We've got the kingmaker, Roo. We've got the man who got traded from Port Adelaide, where he learned everything, and then he ended up at the Crows, Rhett Biglands, and a man who came from Brisbane to Port Adelaide, so he knows about being traded as well, Tommy Rockliffe. Good morning, men.
G'day, Dits. How are you?
Good,
jeez,
thank you.
Dits, you're up and about, aren't you?
What was the trade period like for you, Biggles, when you got traded?
A bit
different back then? Or certainly not the circus it is now.
No, Port cut me, don't forget. Old Jack got me in his used car yard and cut me.
So there's bitterness.
Yeah, no, there's not. But back in those days.
So you're a reject.
Yeah, I've always been a reject. They make the best ones.
Now that makes sense.
What happened? I think you got injured, though, in your time at Port, didn't you?
Yeah, I had 3 groin operations in 2 years.
And you had, Primus and Lade in front of you?
Yeah, they were okay, too. Good players.
They weren't bad. How did you get to Port Adelaide, Tommy? What happened with yours?
I got a better offer from Port Adelaide than it was to stay at the Lions, and we just thought
it was all about the money.
No, free agent, weren't you?
Free
agent.
Restricted free agent, so I had the opportunity to leave with the new rules, and they were happy with the deal to get rid of me.
Mine was the biggest trade of all time, 5AA to Triple M. It was huge. No, it was huge in the day.
38.
It was very big.
Wasn't there a KG thrown in there as well?
It was the steak knives.
Jesus. God. Good deal. Good deal for Triple M.
They were the big winners. Anyway, let's talk about Jordan Dawson, because why not? We've talked about him for a month, it seems, day and night. Finally got your man, Roo.
Well, yeah. I said to you the whole way through I was confident the Crows would get him. It was just a matter of what for. And, if the trade period was 2 or 3 days, the same thing would have happened. But it's not. The AFL drag it out to keep the footy on the back page and a few other pages and on the airwaves for a lot longer to try and distract it from other sports.
On the Triple M Breakfast Show, we asked Jordan Dawson about what sort of role he'll play at the Crows.
Similar to Sydney, the back half of the year, stuff like that. So it's a pretty similar role, but maybe a few tweaks here and there. Sort of talking to the coaches, they're pretty keen to try a few things. So
yeah, good.
I'm excited.
All right, Biggles, you happy with this deal?
I am. It's a gun get, for sure. It's about time the Crows got on the good side of one, because they've absolutely been shafted over the years, trade period. Not some good deals that haven't gone their way. But the one I like most about this is the Melbourne pick, Rupert. That Melbourne pick that they have given up. I reckon if they fall off, I don't think they're going to fall off the perch, but that could fall to a lower pick.
Sydney have got that now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you really think it's a pretty good deal all round, isn't it?
Well, Crows gave away pick 23 and 42 and a couple of ones down the back they weren't going to use to get the Melbourne future first, and then that went to Sydney. So the upside for Sydney is if Melbourne do what the Bulldogs did in 2016 and finish, say, 10th,
but
they'll end up with pick 8. You don't know that.
You
don't know that. They could have a premiership hangover.
Rocky.
And Petraka could do his knee. Who knows what could happen? Anything could happen.
Have they stuffed this up, the Crows? Why didn't they wait until the preseason draft? I'm just asking a bipartisan bystander here. Why didn't the Crows wait and then get him for nothing?
I think they dealt in pretty good faith in the end and dealt with Sydney. And you know that you've got to negotiate with those clubs in future trade periods as well. So you don't want to upset everyone along the way. And I think that it was a fair and reasonable outcome for everyone. I'm not sure whether the deal changed too much. Roo would know a bit more than that. But I think the Crows came out on top in that trade in the end.
Losing Kelly's not great though, but what I do like about it, it'll give Fisher Mackesy more of an opportunity. So I don't mind that at all. Because I'm big rats on Mackesy.
We've got Mackesy, you've got Warrell, we got Hamill, there's heaps of halfback flankers there.
Was that cash for Kelly that we lost him?
No, not at all. He was a free agent and he got offered a longer term, bigger contract to go back home. That's fine. He's from Melbourne and he's been a great servant. He's been a great role model and he wanted to go back. So Jake Kelly is a loss in terms of leadership, but It will end up being a win-win for most, for both clubs. So there's no bad taste there at all.
For those of us that get a bit confused by this, and I'm one of them, I don't understand how did the Jake Kelly thing happen? This isn't a loaded question. Just explain. So he puts his hand up and says, "I want to go to Essendon."
He's a free agent.
Goes, yeah, because he's a free agent. So yep. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah. So he after a certain amount of period, 8 years, you get to be able to move like Rocky did and go to the club of your choice. Mm. And he's a Victorian boy. They offered him a good contract. He wanted to go there. You know where the Adelaide are at. We're trying to rebuild, get games into kids. Yes, you got to have some senior experience around to guide them, and we would have been happy to keep Jake. But at the same time...
But he's allowed to name the club he wants to go to.
Yeah, exactly right. And he did. And that's why it's been brought in, this rule, is to reward players that have been at your club for 8 years so that... free agent. Yeah, you can go to the
club. Right, there's two sides to this. We'll get back to Jordan Dawson in just a moment because he's worth discussing. But, Rocky, you benefited from this. So it's a great rule for players, but is it a great rule for clubs?
No, it's not. The players have all the power here. And I know that you're not a free agent until the eight-year period, but you often see a young kid who's been at a club for 2 or 3 years go, "I want to go to this certain club and nominate a club." So I think the players still have too much freedom in that aspect. And we love free agency because if you do stay at a club for a 7-8 year period, you then have the option to leave. But I think at some point we need the clubs to be in favour. I think a lot of clubs went about their work this week and couldn't get deals done because the players wouldn't agree to go. So at some point I think it's going to start to turn back and the clubs will be able to trade players and say, "Look, you're going because we want to bring in player X and you have to go to this mm-hmm. club."
That's the one they're talking about, bring in, trade without consent. You always got to have consent, don't you? No doubt about it.
Well, at the moment you do.
Yeah, but next year, maybe the year after.
Tell us about international sport, because in basketball, and you can be halfway through a game, or baseball, or
yep.
you can halftime, you can say, well...
We know there's a famous case, a bloke that you know very well, Roo, Pat Kelly, has told us a story many times.
New York Yankees.
Yeah, and in about, say, the fourth innings, a bloke walks out onto the field and says, "Go into the changer and get your gear. You're off to St. Louis."
Yeah,
mid-game.
So that'll even up the balance sheet, won't it? Trade without consent. Players have got to go where you tell them without them saying, "I don't want to go," Luke Bruce did.
Players Association, Tommy's saying it here, have got the power at the moment. Mm. But if they want to get more money or they want to get something else in, they're going to have to give a little bit. And the next stage is giving up a bit of their power. And there's a lot of people in club land that think, the balance is out of kilter, way too much in the favours of the players.
Can I add to this as well? Let's not just look at America and go, "Oh, that's the way they do it." I don't always agree with
what America does.
I think that's a shock. To say to a lad during a game, "Pack your gear, you and your family," that's horrendous.
I don't want that at all. But you can't have players, like Finlayson, for example, he was contracted, or Laddams. But it depends. If the club have told you to go and look, that's fine. But... say Charlie Cameron, he went to Brisbane contract. Lots of players, Brad Hill, a couple of years to go. Lachie Neale. If players are contracted, they can't blackmail you and say, "I want to go home now." If you're in contract but most of the time it happens, they actually get where they want to go.
Mm.
But it's in favour of the player. The club needs a little bit more power to balance it up. I think it'd be good for footy.
I think you've seen what happened at Hawthorn this week as well. They put Bruce on the table. He said, "No, I'm not leaving." Wingard said, "No, I'm not going to GWS." So the players still have a lot of the control. O'Meara. So they put up a lot of their older players and they said they don't want to go, and they didn't. They just stayed. And I think the club at GWS kept Hill to his contract. So there's a little bit if they're in contract, but when you're out of contract, it's hard to keep a player against their will to say you're staying.
All right, final word on Dawson, Roo. So you're obviously very, very happy. We heard him talk about his footy. What does he bring to the club for you?
Look, he is a great kid for starters, A-grade kid, great family, professional footballer, about to go in the absolute best years of his career. 6 to 8 years, he's going to be a very good footballer for the Crows. He's got a really good penetrating left foot kick. He can play halfback, wing, maybe go inside as a midfielder as well. So just a really good kid with leadership, the exact sort of type of player you want to bring into your footy club.
All right, from a South Australian point of view, the other one we talked about a lot in recent days was Peter Laddams. Rocky, as a Port supporter, I've been a bit miffed at the two players that have been talked about leaving the club were Laddams and Power Pepper, when I think we lack a bit of hardness, need more hardness, and they're two blokes. I'm not saying they're absolute hardened units.
Power Pepper is.
But they have a crack and they have a go and they want the ball. And I'm a bit surprised that Laddams has gone to Sydney.
Yeah, I think they had a pretty honest conversation with Pete in his exit meeting at the end of the season and just put a few things on the table. And he didn't necessarily like those conversations and the way they headed, so he explored his option and found
it. Is it on-field or off-field stuff? Because his on-field's been reasonable. He's only 23. Those big men that play that position only start playing decent footy around that age.
Yeah, I think they just asked him to be a little bit more professional off the field, put time into his game and make sure he's doing all his extras and ticking all the boxes. And we know that everyone develops at different stages and the penny will drop for different players at different times. And I think Port went into that conversation with, look, let's try and force him to understand that he's got to put time into his game and do extras to become the number one ruckman at Port Adelaide. And he didn't necessarily agree or like that conversation, so he explored his option and found a new home.
They don't need him to be the number one ruckman. You've got a great ruckman in Lysette. He's a terrific ruckman. He's probably in the top five ruckman in the competition. You need Peter Laddams to be the best second ruckman in the competition, to be the best second ruckman and a key forward that can jump and take marks, which is what he's doing. He just needed to take more marks and kick more goals. I think getting rid of him actually puts a hole in your list, and you haven't got any. I don't think in 2021 you had any holes in your list. I think next year you've got a hole in your list. You haven't got someone who can play second ruck key forward. You haven't got one single player on your list who can do it.
Yeah, I think that's trying to find the balance as well of whether you go with a forward and just play the traditional one ruckman and place Lysette for 90% game time. And
but who's going to do the other bit?
Well, I reckon that's where Port agree with what you're saying. They didn't want to get him, but Laddams believes he can be a number one ruckman in the comp.
I reckon that's garbage.
Because he's going there and he's looked at Hickey and he's thinking, I can take that number one spot. Hickey, I reckon, has got him covered. I think it's a bad move.
He wants to go to Sydney just to play first ruck?
I reckon he needs to be. Yeah, I'm guaranteeing you. He believes he can be number one ruckman in the comp.
Start the football club who gave you a chance. He's a Port Adelaide supporter. They've got a great fan base. It's a brilliant oval. They're in a premiership.
From afar. No, I don't know. I reckon
they're in the premiership window. Don't tell me if you're not good enough to be number one ruckman, bloody become the number one. Do the extras. Train harder. Be disciplined off the field. And when you're second ruck, go in there and dominate to the point like Luke Jackson is at Melbourne and change a bloody grand final and win it for you.
Can I add another angle to this, another dimension? You know, when we hear. And I believe what Rocky's saying, he would know that they had those hard conversations with him. So Port then go, all right, we've got a doubt on that part of your makeup, but Sydney haven't. They haven't got a doubt on it. So does Sydney win out in this? Does he go up there and then start kicking goals, taking marks, doing everything for Sydney, and us Port people look and go, oh, gee, he could have been doing that for us.
Did some people, when they get a kick up the arse, have a reality check and they go away and go, right, it's time to get serious. And some people will go to Sydney and take their off-field stuff to another level and go and hide because they'll never get caught and just take the three-year deal and cash in. Some people thrive with a kick up the arse. Some people doesn't.
They back their system in as well. He's probably looking at Hickey and seeing the way he's turned his career around. And I think who's the other one? Sam Naismith, is he still there? Caden Brand.
They've got a few.
So they're probably thinking that maybe they can turn him around if he is struggling off-field.
I don't think he's struggling off-field. No, I think The conversation
areas to work.
Yeah, it was just make sure you're doing your extras, make sure you're improving your game, you're working on your marking, your goal kicking, so that you are a strong forward and you can pinch it in the ruck. But he took that as a negative and explored his options and found a new home.
Port now have genuinely got a hole in their list, I think, and they got nothing for him. They went from 16 to 12. That is four picks. Effectively, it's going to be from pick 18 to pick 14 on draft night. That's not a game changer. I mean, if you go from 18 to 8, different kettle of fish. Quite often you'll get a guarantee to get a different player at that level, but four spots is not a lot. And then you only got a third round pick, which is probably pick 45. It looks from the outside like he got pushed out.
I don't necessarily agree that there's a hole in the list now because they were playing.
Well, who's your second ruck?
Well, I'm saying that Lysette's going to ruck for 90%.
So yeah, who's going to do who's going to do that
10%? There's a difference now.
So Dixon can take the centre square bounce for one or two a game.
Yep.
And then Marshall can float around or a Finlayson can float around.
In a long season, Lysette has to be sore at some stage, maybe even injured at some stage.
Yeah, and I think Sam Hayes is starting to develop. He's still a work in progress, but he won the Magpies best and fairest this year. So he played a really good year of footy, and he's developing. So there is young
kids.
He's
a genuine first ruck.
He's a genuine ruckman. And Lysette's getting to 29-30. So I don't necessarily agree, because I think that a lot of clubs play one ruck and then have a little pinch hitter.
Mm.
Not too many play the double ruck. Melbourne do.
But a pinch hitter should be a serviceable ruckman at least.
All you want is a contest, realistically, around the ground as a midfielder. So we've seen Richmond do it a couple of years ago where Grigg rucked.
And I'm not sure Laddams and Finlayson are going to give you a contest.
Well, the thing is,
Marshall and Finlayson
now straightens them up, though. So when they were worried about losing Dicko to the ruck because they didn't have a consistent forward up there, Finlayson averages 2 goals a game over his career. So they can leave him up there. And
he's
and
not
like
a target.
Said,
he's a mobile half-forward flanker. He's exactly
he's 197. What, he can bring him down.
He doesn't take contested marks.
He does enough, I
he's
reckon.
A goal kicker.
I reckon he's a gun. Beautiful
Port are looking, no doubt, for big improvement in Marshall and Georgiades.
Yep, I'd agree with that. I think they need a bigger impact from their front half of the ground. I look at their best and fairest from last year. You had 5 defenders in the top 10, 4 midfielders and 1 forward. So that's telling me that something's amiss in the forward half of the ground and they need to straighten that up. They've got the players to do it. How that functions and operates are going to have to do a bit of work in the summer to make sure that those guys are firing and they have a really good year.
Do you think they're too defensively minded? Like they always play that, always have one extra in their back line. They're always outnumbered down in the back line to try and get Aaliyah free or Jonas is always free. Do you think that's why they've got 5 defenders in their best and fairest?
Oh, I don't think so. I think they actually Port play a pretty exciting brand of footy when they're up and going. Oh,
great to watch.
So I think the offensive side of it is good, but I think there's a breakdown with the delivery and the entries inside 50 and the forward half of the ground for a number of reasons. But in saying that, you look at Butters missed a large chunk, Rosie missed a large chunk, Motlop missed a chunk, Gray missed a chunk, Fantasia missed a chunk. So
had a lot of injuries.
Yep. You put those guys back in, you might get a spike.
Talk about the hole in the list. One thing that you experts haven't mentioned.
Small hole.
Yeah. I reckon the midfield needed bolstering. And O'Meara's name was mentioned. Turns out maybe he was never a realistic chance of coming. Port Adelaide actually need midfield backup. And I'll tell you what, just as only my opinion, we got thrashed in the finals in the midfield.
No Rockcliffe's
when it counted. Well, that is a loss. I mean, there's 40 touches a week that you're not getting 50, the ball.
56 in sample.
So the midfield actually needs, to me, that needed work. And I think they should have been looking to try and get 1 or 2 gun midfielders. So
yeah, well, the talk was at the start of the year they were going for Zach Merritt from Essendon, and then he re-signed with them. The Hawthorn players didn't sound like they wanted to leave. When you're contracted, you don't have to. So Amira might not have wanted to come to Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide might have tried their hardest. They might have asked about him. They might have asked about Tom Mitchell. They might have asked Chad Wingard if he wanted to come home and play a role. Who knows? But
what's your take on it, Rocky, the midfield?
I think they've put their eggs in that the progression of Rosie, Butters, Dersma, to go through the midfield, Drew to improve again, yep. Kane Farrell to come back, Power Pepper's still there, Jed McEntee to come on, Bergman. So I think there is a list there that can go through the midfield.
Fair enough, yep.
It's about doing the work in the summer. And I mean, Rosie, Butters, Dersma, they're in their 4th year now. This is where you really expect a spike from them, and you hope that the development that they've done over the last couple of years is really going to come to the floor this year, and huge summers in the midfield. Hopefully you're playing those guys through there.
What do you reckon happen in prelim final day and week leading up to it? This is the million-dollar question, because the week before they looked like superstars, pumped Geelong and looked like they were going to go all the way. So let's not forget that, because Port were in a great spot. What happened? You've been around long enough. Did they think they were going to win? Did they take the foot off the training pedal? Did they do enough competitive work to have 21 of 22 players not play well on prelim final day? And I'll give Riley Bonner a tick, everyone else a cross. You don't get 21 bad performances from a normal preparation. Something happened in the preparation.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head, and I don't think anyone has the answer, which is the most frustrating thing. I can sit here and say my thoughts on that week, and I thought we would win the game. I was pretty confident heading in. I thought we had a really good week. We know that Saturday session is always a challenging one when you have the week off.
Did they do competitive
work? Yeah, they did. They did match play and match simulation, but as you know, you're playing, you don't want to get injured in that, so you're probably not going 100%, but the week was really good. Training was sound. We just didn't fire a shot, and 5 minutes in, you could see the game was over.
Is there an on-field leadership problem? Because it happened against West Coast and it happened against Brisbane, where you get when you got challenged early in the game, there was just no comeback at all. Do you think at times in games, Port Adelaide haven't got the ability to respond?
I think they're going to have to look at the leadership group and how that matures now. You've got Jonas as the captain, Ollie vice-captain, Byrne Jones, and you've lost Hartlett. So where's the next crop of leaders come from? Obviously, Travis was an outstanding captain, but where's the next one? Is it Amon, Houston, Burton? Who's going to be the guy that steps up and really helps that improvement in a leadership point of view? And I think you have to review all facets of your football club when you get performances like that. And you touched on it. Every time we got three or four goals early in games, we found it hard to come back.
How big a loss is Michael Voss and how big a loss is Jared Schofield?
Yeah, I really enjoyed working with Scully as a midfield coach. He was really good. I think Montgomery's moved into that role. I really rate him as a coach. I think he sees the game really well. So he's going to take on that role.
Has he been a midfield coach before?
I think he has. I think he has,
okay.
Yeah. I think he has. But maybe at, was he at the Dogs?
Not
or
sure what he
Carlton?
Was there, to be honest.
I'm sure he has once before. And then Voss, obviously leaving, he's a senior assistant, been around the game for a number of years. So
what role did he really, what was his A-grade weapon at Port Adelaide? I've heard it's about culture and leadership.
Yeah, it was. He did a lot of the off-field stuff and he did a lot of the leadership and just, I suppose, goal setting almost and just refocusing on what was important in the week and how to get the most out of yourself. And then he was the training coordinator, so he did all the training drills and training sessions.
All right, let's look at other things that happened around the place. Obviously, Stengel found a new home at Geelong.
Look, it's great for Tyson Stengel. Biggles knows him well as well. He's a really good kid. Look, he had some off-field issues. He hasn't had the best upbringing, which, you know, is not a great thing for anyone. But he's going to live with Eddie Betts. This is fantastic by Eddie and his family to do it. Eddie's already got five kids, so he's going to have six now. Looking after him, he's got the best chance to go to a club like Geelong to have living with Eddie Betts. His third club. He might be the difference at Geelong.
Massively putting his Eddie Betts' plums right on the rim, sticking his neck out for him, because I've heard their list manager at the Cattery talk about how they weren't totally sold on him, and Eddie went into bat for him big time. And I just think that's incredible, because there's something not right down to the Cats, though, at the moment, Roo. I don't know if it's a waft or something, because you think about who they've lost in Clark, Kruger, Darcy Fort wanted to leave as well. These are all players who wanted out, contracted.
Matthew Scarlett
Kruger's
from the coach's box.
Henderson retired.
Game.
You're right, Dits. There's something there which I just think there's a few murmurings perhaps.
I think that more the coach's box than on-field. I think all those player ones left for reasonable reasons, but the fact that Enright and Scarlett left, they are Geelong through and
they
through.
They sure are, yeah. I want to ask you about Hawthorn. We've already mentioned the big names, the senior players that were bandied around. How do you keep the culture good there after you know that a week ago you were told we're going to start ringing clubs to see if they want you? How can that be a happy change room?
Well, you can look at it both ways, can't you? So we're ringing trying to get rid of you, but you're going to stay. But then you can look at it, well, we're down the bottom of the ladder. And we're no hope of being in the finals or having any premiership window for years now. Mm. But they still want to stay at the club. I mean, it's a vote of confidence in your club that they still want to stay there when you're going poorly, isn't it? So they must love it there. It's going to be a tough one, though.
Through my time, I think it comes back to the individual character. And it'll say a fair bit about those players, how they perform next year. Michael Ricciatelli was put on the table in my first year when we got Favola to Brisbane, and he came out the next year and won the best and fairest and then left the next year off contract on his own terms. But he presented really well and performed at a high level. So I think it's up to the individual. And I think the guys that they're spoken about, they're highly professional, being very good players for long periods of time. So I don't think it'll affect them. They'll have to have a conversation with the coach and get... You have to air the grievances, because if you leave it to linger, then it becomes an issue. But if they have the conversation early on, move on from it and then go about
Tom
their business.
Papley.
If you're a Hawthorn fan, Hawthorn's going to be a better football club next year. They're going to perform better than what they would if they pushed the players out. But the rebuild's going to take a lot longer now because you're not getting the draft picks in. So in business terms, they're depreciating assets when they're that age and you're not getting anything for them. But you're going to be a better performing side next year. You're not going to win the wooden spoon.
SA boy Luke Dunstan has gone to Melbourne. Was there any local interest in him that you know of?
I think the clubs would have thought about it. I mean, this is a bloke who got 11 or 12 votes in the Brownlow. He averaged 20-odd disposals a game.
Sounds like you did a bit of homework on
it. He's Tom Clare. No, he's a good lad. He's a free agent. You couldn't
have got him for nothing. Boy. The only change of coach that robbed him, I don't think Rats really appreciated what he was good at. And he was injured all of last year. Oh, I thought he would have been a huge pickup for the clubs here, but he settled in Melbourne now.
Not the best ball user, not dissimilar to Ollie Wines and Willem Drew. well, no, you're talking about ball use. Well, that's not going to improve your ball use. Mm. No crack at Luke Dunstan, but for Melbourne, they got him for nothing. If Petraka or Oliver or that get injured, he'll go straight in and win a fair bit of ball for him.
All right. Can I go forward to the pre-season draft? Horne Francis. Everyone's talking about him as the absolute number one gun
national
from South
draft.
Adelaide. National draft.
Yep.
Tell us where we've all seen him. We watched the SANFL finals, but Roo, give us your take on him. How good?
I'm only listening to recruiters. I've only seen him bits and pieces. He's got speed. He's got mongrel. He can jump. And he definitely wants to be good. Yeah, they've... Comparing him to Voss, comparing him to Fife, you know, that they're big names to be compared to. But he's played two really good years in the SANFL. That's unusual. He dominated that prelim final. There's no guarantees, but he's as good as probably come out of here for a while.
Pretty level-headed as well. Like after the games, he'll sit with Flash and his mum and stick with his, you know, his family
as
well.
Flash being Fabian Francis.
Mm. Yeah, and he'll... You know, really very level-headed off field, but driven, and it has that competitive edge, which I know the blokes at South rave about it. You know, when it's white line fever, he's on.
Will he get homesick going to Melbourne?
I can see that. G'day, Isaac Rankin. How are you?
He actually, he had a week at Port Adelaide this year. A part of the AIS scholarship program.
Use their facilities.
Yes, so he comes in and had a week. They all get it. They all go to
the whole AIS. Was
the whole AIS go to certain clubs. So he was a South Aussie boy, so he came down to Port Adelaide for a week and he did a few things at training that you were like, yeah, this kid can play. His body craft and inside the stoppage was really good. And then we ended up playing South that week. So it was a challenging week for him, but he did some things on field that you were like, yeah, this kid's going to be a very good player in the future.
One more thing I want to ask Roo, and there's rumours around at the moment. We're heading into pre-season, Roo, and obviously pre-season camps are a bit of a worry.
This is feeling like
a bit of a
worry, here.
But there are rumours around that the Crows are going to play Squid Game in pre-season. Is this true?
Collective mind.
get them going.
There he is.
They're going to get the tug of war.
Big Jerry.
And whoever doesn't win the tug of war out of the Crows, the forwards and backs, they die. They're dead.
Oh, Jerry Seinfeld's back.
I'm looking forward to calling the games with you again next season. Some of the times that we throw down you on the boundary, like the day.
Oh,
no,
you'd
had a big head knock.
You can't.
Let's head to Red Biglands, the Triple M Gas World Interchange.
Thanks, Jason. Sitting right alongside the bench. Very balanced bench too, boys. Alec Magan is running through there. He'll pinch it up forward. Horsley sitting right alongside of him. He'll rotate through the mids. Matt Shaw run through the back 50. Flanagan is the sub. Over to the Crows, boys.
Beagles, how many teeth had you lost? What happened?
Tell us what happened, because I thought we were listening to Wide World of Sports.
Super Sluice is at 6-1. Majestic Prince and By Jingoes are 3-1 equal favourites. Regal Scepter, well, there's a bit of money around for him.
Anyway, what happened that week? You copped a head knock.
That's the funniest thing Roo's ever done on the radio.
That
was 10 years ago.
Well, when you have the day off, talk pop my bag off.
And Supery said 66-1.
Son of family. And if this horse doesn't get up tonight, I'll be singing for my supper.
Anyway, boys, thanks for being all a part of it. AFL Trade Week. Can we please shorten it next year? Will that happen?
I'll do everything I can.
They're expanding the draft coming up as well. It's over two nights. Yeah, the draft's over two nights.
Oh, I won't sleep.